When you get to Asheville.
Hello, this is Dan, and welcome to the third Earn This Beercast. So, we have a little bit of a curveball here. Normally it's been me, Mike, and Colton. Today we have me, Mike, and Brian, who you might know from other Earn This enterprises, activities, shenanigans. How are we doing today, fellas?
Doing good.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here for the first time. Seems like we've kind of turned the whole podcast maybe into a beer cast.
Well,
it's been the last three consecutive.
No,
but
we have one in the can that's not beer.
Okay,
so.
All right.
The reason that we do not have Colton with us today is because he recently became a father. Congratulations, Colton. However, we do have phoned in our expert guest panelist, and it is, in fact, Colton. He just could not be physically with us, but he's still going to be here. He still has some of the
with
beers we're going to be tasting.
In spirit and in voice, which
yes.
is what's important.
You want to say hi, Colton?
Yep, this is the disembodied voice of Colton. I'll be here to judge your beer.
Wonderful. So, for the beer cast, a couple things are different. Not only do we have not Colton with us, but I was the one who selected the beers. So I'm no expert on beers, and so it'll be a little bit different having someone who is not a master doing, you know, leading the tasting here. But we just gave Brian and Mike their first beer. Here is the theme for today's beer cast, which neither Mike nor Brian know. These are beers from Asheville, North Carolina, that I went to the brewery. Me and Katie went to the brewery, tasted these beers, picked them out, and brought them back.
Well, all right.
All of these beers are from breweries in Asheville, so you might have a heads up here if you know breweries in Asheville.
There's a couple.
Yeah, that you know of off the top of your
head?
Well,
not that I know of off the top of my head, but I know that there's a bunch. It's actually a
pretty
big brewery.
It is a little beer mecca. Colton and I were talking about that earlier. Katie and I hit 10 breweries and 2 cideries while we were down there.
Damn. Are these all from the same brewery or not?
No, they're all from different breweries. All
right, fantastic. Here I thought you were going to do something like tried and true, like, hey, it's October. Let's do Oktoberfest.
We did go in the fall. And so I will say that.
So it'll still be fall.
At least one
centric.
Of these has a fall theme to it.
Okay.
So, why don't we get started with our first beer? So, Brian and Mike are going to be, they've been having little sips here. They've been looking at it. They've been smelling it. Any preliminary thoughts, fellas?
It's kind of interesting. It's a little bit of a, like a, I don't know what I'd really call it. But, I say this is, sort of tastes like it has like a American lager style flavor to me. Almost close to like a Yingling in that sense, without being the now mass produced and known by some conglomerate sort of thing. But I like the dark, is it amber color of it? It again almost reminds me of like Yingling, where it's not like a really light beer, but you can see a little bit of color in it. Not much head when you poured it for us and everything. It's a very smooth finish, which this is it's interesting. I don't know if this is one of the ones that you were going to say was going to have like the fall theme to it, but this is a beer that I would say almost bridges between summer and fall. Like you could drink it in August, or this could last you well into November, and it would still be a very versatile beer that you could have at any time.
Yeah. Before we get too far into it, I want to preface basically my entire commentary by saying that I don't really know all that much about beer. I have, however, found the last two episodes very educational, and nothing beats a free education, and nothing beats free beer, and so I've kind of tagged along for the ride.
So you're a freeloader, is it?
A little bit, but I feel like Dan knows that already, and so...
So let me tell you how these work, Brian. So first, Mike is going to call something a triple that is not a triple.
And he's going to
he's gonna wonder,
debate the merits of whether or not it contains barley.
Exactly. At least twice a beer cast, I'll make an utter fool of myself.
Well,
and we're looking forward
I'll
to
meet
it.
Or exceed that quota.
That is the expectation. So.
All right. But I do recognize colors, and I suppose I can taste flavors, and so I can at least say something about this liquid before me in this glass. And I would agree with the assessment that it is an amber color. This is the kind of beer that I... like, you know, it's I tend to lean towards the darker in my palate preferences. You know, not as bitter. And this is smooth. And I like it so far. I think it's a good starter.
Colton going to hop in here and tell us where we're wrong?
The expert palate, what does it have to say?
Okay, I'll give you my best shot here. Now, I don't mean to make an excuse. I'm just going to preface by saying, since my pours were poured ahead of time and stored in Tupperware, there's a little bit of loss of carbonation, and it makes me... I get bitterness in this beer, and I'm not sure how much of that is supposed to be covered up by the bubbles. Not sure how much anyone else tasted, but what I'm getting is primarily a malt flavor profile and a medium body, and everyone said amber color. And I don't get a lot of floral hop flavor, but there is significant bitterness at the level of like a pale ale. But I expect a pale ale to be blonde in color. I'm tempted to say that this is like a red ale, although it's a little bit off the color for what I'd expect for that too. So if I were blind and tasting this, I would say this is a pale ale for sure. The color is throwing me off, and I'm gonna take a stab and call it a red ale. Just on a whim, and we'll see where this goes.
Wait, make sure you ask
the
ABV.
Oh yeah, so let's hear the ABV guesses, Mike and Brian.
I'm gonna go with 5.0.
Okay.
5.1.
Okay, so the ABV is 5.6%. So that's gonna be one bonus point for Brian.
Well done, Brian.
So I'm gonna say out of the tasting. Notes that Mike actually scored the best. He called correctly that this is a lager. So this is from the Asheville Brewing Company. This is called Drink the Bismarck. It's an Oktoberfest Marzen-style lager that's aged on white oak chips. So I think the floral bitterness that Colton picked up was from being aged on oak chips. So Colton, maybe you can educate us. You see the word Oktoberfest, and I often see Marzen thrown in there too. What do these terms mean when it comes to brewing beer? Do they have any specific meaning, or is it just like a general flavor profile?
Well, a Märzen, the German pronunciation Märzen, the A has an umlaut over it, is an October, September style of beer. You can just reference the tasting notes that everyone gave because this is what it's like. I slapped the table when you said that because I almost said Märzen, but I felt more strongly something else, so I said something else. Anyway, Oktoberfest isn't really a kind of beer. Oktoberfest, as everyone probably knows, is a festival in Munich that takes place mostly in September and is imitated all around the world. And for that reason, brewers can sell a lot by labeling something an Oktoberfest beer. But having actually attended Oktoberfest, I can tell you that the beers there are almost 100% Pilsners. And if it's not a Pilsner there, it's a wheat beer. So don't get too distracted by that stylistic note. But if there's a beer that's appropriate for the month of October that doesn't have pumpkin in it, I would say it's a Märzen.
All right. So we're going to... Yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah, we got to give the scores.
Hi, I'm Katie. I didn't introduce myself. I'm giving a style point. Or do you want to give your points first?
So I'm going to give Mike a... he's the only one who called it was a lager, so I'm going to give him a 7. And I'm going to give Brian a 5. And then Brian also got the +1 for the ABV. So, Katie, what was your style point?
My style point this round goes to Mike because he was very precise in his descriptions, which I think is a good start.
All right.
I would agree.
Thank you, Katie.
All right. So after one round, quick mental math, 8 points for Mike, 6 points for Brian.
It's a close one.
Yeah.
We're going to pour the second beer. All right. So we have beer number 2 in front of us. They're taking a look at it here. I have a little bit in front of me. It's a little bit lighter than the last one. It's not quite so amber or red. It's, I don't know. What would you guys say?
Yeah, you want to hop on this first, Brian?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I noticed, you know, following Mike's example over there, I took some big sniffs of it to kind of sample the aroma here. And it smells fruity to me, like maybe almost a mango smell. I don't know if that's a common thing. I wouldn't guess it was. It's also, like Dan just mentioned, more pale, and fittingly, with a pale beer, I've found more bitter.
Yeah, so this is very interesting to me, because it's much more bitter than I thought it was going to be looking at it. Just initially glancing at it, I assumed it'd be some sort of blonde ale. It has a very strong finish to it, where it really lingers. I get some floral notes both sniffing it and drinking it, how it starts and how it finishes. Yeah, I'd say this is probably some sort of blonde ale. I'm trying to think what kind of aroma I'm picking up. This might be the mimosas I just had at Bottomless Brunch right before I came over here. But I'm getting a little bit of like orange and grapefruit notes, which is not coincidentally probably also the type of mimosas I had. So that's probably way off, but that's what I'm picking up from this. Definitely some floral notes as well.
Yeah, my own tastes and predilections would typically steer me away from a beer like this. I don't tend to like the bitter ones as much, but I'm here to broaden my horizons.
What says you, Colton?
I think these guys have done a great job. They both mentioned different fruits, and citrus notes are common to IPAs and similar styles. They come from the hops. If I were a better beer expert, I could tell you which breeds of hops, but I'm not at that level. But when I taste this, my mind immediately jumps to IPA, because the flavor profile is so different from the last beer. This is entirely governed by the hops. Floral notes, citrus notes, and a significant bitterness that comes from adding the hops early in the brewing process. I was swirling it around and thinking and trying to judge, because, again, I stuck on IPA real quick. If that's wrong, I'm sorry. And I was trying to judge what kind, and I feel like I get enough alcohol in this, not to influence anyone else's guesses, because I might be wrong on the ABV. But I feel like there's enough alcohol in this that I'm going to stick out my nose and say this is a double IPA, or an imperial IPA or something along those lines. So, Dan, why don't you tell us who's right and wrong?
Well, interesting. We have to guess.
Yeah, let's hear the ABV,
right?
Yeah.
6.6.
Interesting. I was going to say 6.3. What's interesting is when I was out in Colorado, a lot of the IPAs I had, the bitterness and the ABV sort of, I don't know, separated from each other a little bit. And while I'd be like tempted to say it's the higher ABV beer, I think this is one of those that is overly bitter. And I think 6.3 is what I'm going to say. And I think you're right, Colton. Now that you mentioned that it's an IPA, I'm a little disappointed I didn't pick that up myself. I think maybe I got a little bit just thrown off by the color and the murkiness when I first looked at it. But I don't know.
Well,
yeah, 6.3 will be my guess for ABV.
So this is one where Colton does not have this one he actually poured from a bottle, not from a Tupperware. And he was wrong in guessing a high alcohol volume on this one. So this is actually a sessionable ale. It's 4.5%. So no bonus points on the alcohol. This is by Highwire Brewing. However, it's actually a collaboration with other breweries. They listed a few others. They didn't call it an IPA. They called it an oatmeal pale ale. I don't know exactly what that means. I agree that it tastes similar to an IPA. As far as the flavor profile, they describe it as generously hopped and floral and herbal. They do not mention the citrus notes, although when you guys said that, my tongue did detect that as well. So, Colton, maybe you can educate us on, are you familiar with the term oatmeal pale ale? Does that mean anything to you?
I would tell you that that's not a term per se. It's just a description. This must be a pale ale brewed with some amount of oatmeal replacing some amount of barley.
Yeah,
And that's interesting. That's not something that I've tasted before.
No, it's surprising.
So this is a pretty cool one.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I think I've seen before oatmeal used in a lot of heavier beers. Like there was a what was it called? Like Liquid Lunch by Terrapin Brewing Company, which is like a very heavy beer, almost tastes like a nut butter. And I feel like they use some oatmeal in that. And you hear a lot of oatmeal stouts that people come out with for the winter time.
Yeah,
I've never heard of like an oatmeal pale ale, especially a session. pale ale that's like so much lower on alcohol content than what you would expect given the bitterness and everything that we tasted.
So what would determine a session beer?
So
what does that mean?
Colton can correct me if this is not correct, but this is my understanding. It derives from when people who would do manual labor during their breaks, they would like to drink beer.
Nailed
and
it.
Like it would be working sessions. And okay. So it had to be low alcohol volume, because if they drank too much, they would get drunk. And if they're doing manual labor, for obvious reasons, that would be a bad idea.
We learned that at Lost Rhino, right? Didn't we ask somebody there or something like that?
Yeah,
because that's exactly my memory of the definition. So, Colton, is that correct, or were we led astray?
Have you heard that before, Colton?
I'm going to trust you guys on this one, because you heard it from a brewer. What I had always heard was that they call it a sessionable beer if it's one that you can drink in sessions, as in you can sit down for an afternoon or an evening and drink this same beer through several bottles without your palate getting worn out. And for that reason, a session beer, to my mind, needs to be both low alcohol and a mellow taste, not too strong of a flavor that'll grate on you after a while. And when you said this was a sessionable beer, I was like, that's crazy. This is way too bitter for me to have like three of these in a row. But maybe that's personal opinion, and maybe you guys are right on the session thing, and it's really just the alcohol that matters.
All right, so we got to score them. I think everybody hit similar notes here. There was not too much disagreement, so I think these scores are going to be pretty clustered. I'm going to give Brian 6 points, and I'm going to give Mike also 6 points. So we're going to call that one a tie, because nothing stood out as particularly right or wrong. I did appreciate Brian's bold guess of mango and complimenting Mike's guess of grapefruit. Katie, any bonus points to award?
Well, you kind of stole my thunder there. I was going to give a bonus point to Brian for mango.
I think
I
you
that
earned
description.
That. Even if it wasn't in the beer. I mean, going tropical, I actually respect that a lot.
All right, so that'll be 7 on this round for Brian and 6 for Mike. And now let's go pour beer number 3, which is the one that Colton does not have. So we now have beer number 3 in front of us. It's a brownish, reddish, even a hint of pink and orange in the color. Both our tasters have taken a look, taken a sniff, taken a sip of it. I would say this is a little bit more striking than some of the other ones we've had.
It has a really pungent, not pungent, that's probably the wrong word. It has a strong aroma to it. And this might be a throwback to BeerCast number 1. And that's what I was trying to think about for a while there while I was sniffing and tasting it.
Yeah, I might have to say, it's got a winey taste. It's got a tang to it as though it were almost a wine.
Definitely get some sour. I'm going to say that this is a lambic.
Oh.
But which is, and you might disagree with me, I might be way wrong on this, but I remember having a beer that was sort of similar in flavor profile and everything to this, and BeerCast number 1 that Colton educated us on, I would say that was a lambic. I do like the sour. You get some almost like wine is an interesting word. I'd almost say like cherry, a little bit of like a cinnamon or something in this.
I was actually going to say cinnamon also.
Yeah, I like it. So what do you think, Brian?
It's unusual. I've never had a beer like this. But when Mike said a moment ago, I think I've got this, I was trying to rack my brain for thinking back through BeerCasts 1 and 2 and words that I learned in those episodes. And one was saison. I had actually forgotten the word lambic. So what the heck? I'm going to say saison. I don't actually remember what that is, but it was one that came up. And I'm going to throw my hat
that
into the ring.
That was in the BeerCast number 1.
I appreciate the boldness, Brian.
Yeah.
Because you weren't even tasting that one. You were just listening to it.
That's right. I was trying to remember the flavor notes from that one, and I remember that they said it was something unusual.
So do we want to do the ABV guesses?
Sure.
Okay.
I will go with a
5.6.
Interesting. It's 8% ABV.
8%?
That's quite high.
You're kidding me. Oh my gosh.
This is from one of my favorite breweries that we visited in Asheville, and this was one of my favorite beers I tasted down there. So the name of the brewery is Wicked Weed, and they specialize in what they call sour and funky beers. And so they have a whole menu of sour beers, of which this is. So they don't use the word lambic, and I can say with confidence that this is actually not a Saison, though.
Okay.
Good guess, Brian. It's called the Pompoin, P-O-M-P-O-E-N. Neither of you guys picked up on the pumpkin flavor. You did say cinnamon, but this is described as a rum barrel aged pumpkin sour ale with ginger in it.
I think it's got a lot more of the rum barrel than the pumpkin.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. That's exactly what
I don't taste much pumpkin. I did, when I tasted it, pick up on the ginger. I don't know if you guys noticed
that.
Yeah,
the ginger is the sort of similar spiciness, I almost think, to the cinnamon. And the rum barrel is also almost like a cinnamon. So Brian and I were both like around that, I think. Mm-hmm. Can I get a little bit more? Because I want to see if I can taste that pumpkin now that I'm looking for it. What's interesting is that if that does have pumpkin in it, what I like is that it's not overpowering. A lot of October beers, I think, go almost overboard on their pumpkin flavor to make it like, oh, this is a pumpkin ale. So many places have a pumpkin ale, and they're really good sometimes. But it's not like cliche, but it's like the forward note. So if this has pumpkin in it, and it's like a little bit of in the background, that's like kind of, it's fascinating.
Right.
So,
yeah, the notes go on to say that they don't much mention the pumpkin, but they do bring up, it just says with pumpkin, so I don't know exactly what that means.
Yeah, I just tried it again. I'm not really getting that pumpkin flavor.
Yeah, I'm not picking up on it.
They say it's aged.
I need a better palate.
Aged for over a year in rum barrels, and the ginger is charred, which adds a more subtle spice. So that's what the notes say here. I'd be curious to hear, do you enjoy sour ales?
I love sour ales. And this sounds like a complete invention. Wicked Weed is a brewery I've heard of. They have a reputation that, I mean, a lot of people in Asheville are hippies, but I'm pretty sure those guys are all hippies. And this, from everything that you guys are saying, I think that this would be a really interesting beer to taste, so I'm a little jealous.
Sorry.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have had a baby.
This was one that we had only one bottle of, and I didn't want to ruin I don't want to make it flat for these guys, so sorry you missed out on this one, Colton.
That was a good choice, and I respect it.
And so it's called the Pompoin, P-O-M-P-O-E-N. So that was beer number three, and now we're going to pour... Oh, yeah, we got a score. I keep forgetting. All right. So I'm gonna say Mike gets 6 on this one, because he missed both the ginger and the hints of pumpkin and the rum, which were all supposed to be like the defining traits. That said, he did call the sour. And I'll give Brian a 4 on this one for incorrectly calling Saison. Then again, you also did call it a lambic too, Mike.
This is very close to a lambic.
I think it does have
a similar profile to it.
I have to interject on Mike's behalf.
Okay.
I know it doesn't say so, but I think this is a lambic, and here's why. There's a habit among Belgian brewers that the style of each lambic is named after the fruit that's in it. Like, Creek is a cherry lambic, and Framboise is a raspberry lambic, because those are the words for cherry and for raspberry. Pompoin is the word for pumpkin in... Wait, what language is this? I don't know what language I'm looking at. I just Googled pompoin, and it brought up a Wikipedia page for pumpkin in something that might be like Dutch or something like that.
Wow.
So,
yeah, like Flemish or something.
I strongly believe
Dutch
that the
knowledge bomb
signals that this is a lambic.
Wow.
I'm bumping Mike up to a 7 on this one.
Okay.
Right, Katie's... Oh, and nobody got the points for alcohol. Katie?
No style point on this one.
No. Ouch.
Okay.
Completely
I respect that. Harsh judge.
Well,
we got up our game.
Not stylish, man.
Let's see how we do on... by the way, if anyone's down in Asheville, I highly recommend it. Basically, all of their beers are very interesting and very
Wicked
good.
Weed.
Wicked
so
Weed.
So fun. This is the Funkatorium tasting room.
The Funkatorium. So everything Colton said about hippies must be 100% spot on. Wicked Weed with a Funkatorium.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All
right, let's get beer number 4. All right, so we have beer number 4 in front of us. It's got an interesting color profile. I would describe it as reddish, brownish, maybe a hint of orange in it, not much head to it, very lightly effervescent.
It's very interesting. I'll let you hop on this one first.
Okay. Well, I've had some some beers billed as chocolate beers, like a chocolate stout or something. I don't know if this is quite a stout, but I'm picking up on some of that similar, almost a chocolatey flavor.
Yep. That was the one, I would say, like, the primary note that I was picking up would be, like, a chocolate or a molasses. So I agree with you on that. I'm not sure if, well, maybe we're both wrong, but mm-hmm. that's exactly what I tasted. I'm not sure really what the style of this beer is either. Because, Colton will hop in here, but Colton told me, like, the other day that, like, stouts aren't a real thing. Like, they're all...
Oh, yeah, we were talking about stouts versus porters.
They're, like, everything's actually, like, a porter, and someone just invented the term stout.
If we ever do a winter beer focus, that would definitely be a topic of discussion.
I would love to get Colton on a winter beer thing and get nothing but stouts. Whatever, like, he loves stouts. I don't think it's, like, really... When I think of, like, porters and stouts, I think of them being a little bit heavier than this, a little bit darker. So I don't think sure. it's that style, like you were saying. It's, like, a little bit removed from that. But a lot of times you see those same flavor notes in one of those types of beers. It's definitely some. I'd say it's probably somewhere in the ale family. I'm not sure what exactly the style would be.
I wanted to say that porter is also a confusing term because port... is a different thing. I was at a restaurant and I ordered port expecting a dark beer.
Is that
like a little
wine?
Strong wine,
yeah.
almost like a brandy in
really
a little
sweet?
Tiny glass. It's like, what is this? Yeah. What happened?
An unfortunate mistake.
It was actually pretty good.
Yeah,
I ended up
really
liking
sweet
it.
And
yeah.
really heavy, man. It'll put you on your ass if you drink too much of that.
Yeah.
I have a bottle of port up there and it is delicious. I mean, it's
so what
good.
You're saying is we're jumping into wine cast immediately after this.
Class it up.
I don't really know if I'll say some things about the rest of the beer. It doesn't have a lot of bitterness to it, which is interesting. I would imagine it's not very... I wouldn't say it's boozy, but it's probably got a pretty high alcohol content relative to some of the other beers we've tasted. Maybe not the 8% that we just had. We'll see. I don't know if I've really ever... If I can really identify this or lump it into a category. It's just tough for me to throw out a term. Maybe Colton will be able to do better... with classifying the style of this beer. I don't know, Brian, you got anything else to add? I mean, I know you said it was chocolate, but then
yeah.
it started going.
Yeah, not super dark, a little bit ahead. The closest thing I've had that was sort of like this was the Sweet Baby Jesus, the chocolate peanut butter. It's not quite as heavy as that, but I still stand by my similar to a chocolate.
So let's hear what Colton has to say.
All right, so Mike said the first half of what I was thinking, which is I'm tempted towards like a strong stout or a strong porter kind of a beer, except that it's just not dark enough, and honestly, it's not quite as malty as I would expect because you often get like roast and coffee and stuff in those styles of beer, and I was thinking, well. Again, I don't want to throw off anyone else's guess because I said there was a double IPA and it turned out to be a session beer. But this tastes boozy to me. This tastes alcoholic to me. And so I was thinking about what moderately brown beer with a little bit of a lighter mouthfeel is going to be that boozy. And I was thinking maybe it's like a wee heavy, like a Scotch ale is one style that it could fit in. But usually that's drier, and this is still on the sweet side. So the only thing that I can think is that this has been aged in liquor barrels, and I'm going to say something like bourbon specifically. So I'm just going to guess that this is like a bourbon ale and hope. My second guess would be a wee heavy, but we'll see what Dan says.
Interesting. All right, Dan.
I guess do we need to guess our numbers?
Yeah, the ABV guess.
All right, man, you're up.
7.
I would say 7.8.
Okay, 7.7. Ooh. So Mike gets, what was that, two?
Two bonus points.
Two bonus
Very
points.
Very nice.
So this is called Eleanor's Rye. It's a red ale. It's 45 IBU. It's the only one I have IBU on. This won the bronze medal for Carolina's Championship of Beer in 2015.
Okay.
And it's from the Lexington Avenue Brewery, also known as the LAB or the Lab. And they also have a very good restaurant. That was one of our favorite outings because they had good food and they had a a wide line of good beers. They actually had one beer that we really liked. It was a raspberry porter. And it was, they used nitrogen to make it particularly carbonated. And it was, I had never tasted anything like it, and it was really good. But they, because of the nitrogen, they couldn't put it, we got a half, what's it called, half growler of this. So they couldn't put it in a half growler. So we got this one instead, which I liked, and Katie was not a huge fan of. But I did like it, and one of the reasons I got this when I was planning for the beer cast is because they gave a plethora of very interesting taste notes. So I'm going to go through those notes
okay,
now.
Okay, yeah.
There's a little bit of overlap with what you guys said, and also some that you missed, and I can't even pick up on when I taste it. So let's, I'll read it here. It's a caramelized rye malt and dark brown sugar, and they initiate a robust and resinous flavor that ends with a dry, almost peppery finish. To rein in the strong malt presence, they hopped this beer with the Calypso and Topaz varieties of hops, which creates notes of apple and pear.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So I just liked, basically they gave you 10 things you could talk about there.
Literally the only one I hit was the dark sugar, because I said molasses.
Yeah, I know it's not worth anything now, but I was considering saying caramel, because he said, chocolate, but not as dark. I was like, kind of like a caramel.
Absolutely, Brian.
Yeah.
So, that was a, I just thought it was a very interesting combination of flavors as described, and it doesn't really, you said not very bitter. I taste some bitterness here, and it's an interesting, but it's like a rich bitterness. The flavor kind of.
You said 45 IBU, right?
I guess that's not too
bitter. That's pretty low.
So that's
on the
low end of what would be like a pale ale. So it's got some bitterness, like you're saying, absolutely.
It's a red ale, it's called, so.
Yeah, so,
And rye malt.
Ale is almost like this giant amorphous category. Colton would be great to weigh in on this, but my experience with something being called like a red ale or anything like that is that it actually is just super broad.
Okay.
Even in my experience, I would say the same.
Colton, is that accurate? I mean, red ale is not really a defined style.
Yeah, I think this one's kind of a wild card. There's basically no way anyone could have guessed it. Red ale is just a function of how and how much you cook the malt. And in this case, the malt, I guess, is partly or largely rye. But, you can picture putting grains in an oven. Pale ales and blonde ales, you don't cook them that much. You cook them more, you get to red, brown, and then eventually, when they turn black, you get stouts and porters. So all that says is how much they cooked the malt. It doesn't tell you about what malt they used, the fact that they added brown sugar. I mean, it's an awesome beer, but I don't know how anyone of us could have figured that out unless we're a certified Cicerone.
Yeah, I wanted to see if anybody hit the notes.
And then you've got all the funky hops that they use, too. So this is a really cool beer, and I think it's no surprise that none of us hit the nail on the head. But there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, did anyone mention apple or pear at all?
I
don't know about the... Yeah.
Not only did they not mention it, but even looking for it as I tasted it this time, I was like, not tasting any of it.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so then for points, Mike said molasses, which is the closest we came to the caramel, which to me is the distinct flavor of this. I don't even really know what the word rye means. They call it a rye ale. Colton, what does rye mean?
Rye is a grain.
So that means it's a specific type of grain they use to create this beer?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything, just for future reference for us, that if we have a rye beer that we can look for, that we can try to taste to know that it's actually made from rye? Or is that just kind of a name that you can't really associate with a specific flavor?
Well, I'm going to cut in real quick. Have you ever had a rye whiskey or rye bread?
Yeah. And that has a little bit of a flavor to it. That's true.
I was going to say exactly what Brian said.
Okay. So then I'm going to give Mike, you guys were similar on the flavor notes. I'm going to give Mike a 6 for getting the closest to the caramel and Brian a 5. And Mike also had the, bonus points for the ABV. So that's 4 beers down and Katie's style
point. Mine also goes to Mike for not only for getting close to the brown sugar, but also for the almost boozy way that he described it. I thought that was a good descriptor.
All right. Thank you, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. All right, so now we're going to move on to beer number 5. All right, beer number 5.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, you say something on
No, the absolutely. You got I was jumping the gun.
Yeah, you can introduce us
a
little bit.
It's golden. Hints of orange. I have very minor foam on the top. A distinct smell.
I think I'm up first on this one.
Sure.
Gosh. This is really tough to me because I get some Belgian ale flavor for sure in this whole thing. And I know it's like a running joke that I'm going to call something like a triple or a double when it's just absolutely not. I feel like I've been doing a pretty good job of staying in my lane so far on this beer cast and not embarrassing myself. The other thing that's a little bit tricky, so I get some Belgian ale style flavor notes on here. And I don't know if it's just the bias towards October. I almost am like sort of thinking in the back of my head that like maybe there's some pumpkin in here. So, that's where I'm at right now on this. I don't know, Brian, what is your feelings on this?
Well, Dan picked a good spread for this episode. There's definitely a taste to this, a distinctive taste that I can't quite place. But I know that I don't think I've had a beer quite like this before. I think it may be some kind of fruit. This is a little bit of a shot in the dark, as many of my guesses have been thus far. I might almost say like a cherry. Or something. I don't know. Something that is unusual about this. It's not quite in the same winey realm as the one was a while ago. But there's something to this that is not what I would think of as a prerequisite for beer.
Yep.
Something setting it apart that I can't quite place. Dan described the color well. It's kind of an orangish. It's not pale, but I wouldn't call it dark either. It's very middle of the road.
Yeah. And to add on to what you were saying... And I'm probably way off on this, but I've always felt, to me personally, that when I get the aroma from like a Belgian-style ale, that it almost smells like cherry.
Okay.
So I think that might be, for some, yeah, like I think that might be actually like very close to what this is. And I'm interested to hear what Colton has to say, if this is a Belgian-style ale, or because that's his jam. And I don't know, Colton, I mean, what do you think, man?
All right, well, I agree. I agree that this... It has a sense of Belgian style to it. It's got the thin mouthfeel. It's got the little bit of sweetness, which in most Belgian ales comes from candy sugar that they add in the brewing. And it has a distinct presence of alcohol as part of the intended flavor profile. This is not a beer that's trying to cover up its alcohol. It's one that's trying to use it alongside other flavors. And I love that shit.
Yeah.
So this tastes good, but... without having beer number 3 as an immediate reference point, since I didn't taste that one, this is tart. This is sour or funky in some way, in a way that the standard silo of like single, double, triple, quad beers are not typically sour at all. So this feels like it's in that realm, but like it's been soured. So I'm going to predict that this is a double. That has either Brettanomyces yeast involved, or that has been aged in wine barrels. I think it's something along those lines, modifying a Belgian ale base.
Well, interesting notes. It seems there's some consensus here. So let's hear the ABV guesses.
I'll go with 6.9.
I'm going to go to 8 this time.
So the ABV is 8.
Oh my man, five bonus points.
It's 8.5.
Sorry.
Oh no.
It's 8.5.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
he's a liar. He was trying to throw me.
Wait, does he still get a?
Is
a point? Is that
1.5? Yeah, that's still a point.
Okay. All right.
I don't know why. I said 8. I saw the 8. And
all right, man. You get a bonus point. One bonus point.
Oh, because I looked at the wrong one. The number 3 was 8. Anyways, sorry about that, Brian.
Okay.
All right. 8.5. You're still closer than Mike.
Yeah.
Sorry to suck the air out of
you. No, it's all right. I'm happy where I'm at.
So you guys more or less nailed it. It's a Belgian-style golden ale. It does not say whether it's a single, double, triple, quad. It did not specify what it was, but it definitely, I can, even when Katie poured, I knew what was coming, but the instant I smelled it, the Belgian style that Colton served to me several times, it was immediately obvious. And kudos to Colton, his refined palate for Belgian. He called... that this is a Belgian supplemented by a fruit. And the fruit that it's supplemented by is pomegranate. So also kudos to Brian for, he guessed cherry. Maybe he was just smelling the Belgianness of it, but there was definitely a strong reddish fruit in there. So I don't know if you already saw it or not, Mike, or either of you guys here, but trivia question. What is the biggest craft brewery in Asheville? And it is a name that you know.
Sweetwater?
The dog one. Dogfish. I don't know.
It's Sierra Nevada.
Sierra Nevada is Asheville based?
No, well, their second one is. So they have two breweries now. Their second one is in Asheville. They have one, I think it's in California or something.
Yeah, I did know that. They started off in California. Their East Coast distributing and brewing is in Asheville, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they just opened last year.
Yeah, they did. So that was big news because they were able to do a lot of stuff from
moving out. Really cool, by the way, the place. So I didn't like their self-walking tour. I thought it was kind of boring. And kind of misrepresented, like they had all sorts of old timey like beer stuff as if it was like their history. But the place was founded in either 1979 or 1980, so that was a little silly. And they didn't even see that much. But the beer itself was incredible, and I actually almost always like Sierra Nevada beers. And when we tried all of their beers, they have a nice big place to eat and a lot of beers on tap. I liked all of it. It was one of my favorite stops in Asheville.
Well, it's interesting, like we were just talking about maybe off the record there, but they're another brewery that got their exposure by having a great pale ale. And they've since, you know, branched into a lot of other stuff. That's how a lot of those now nationwide sort of craft brew chains got a start.
And for maybe the uninitiated, Mike and Colton, what are some key points of a Belgian ale?
Yeah, I mean, I'll throw this to Colton because he's the absolute expert on it. I love Belgian-style stuff, but he really knows his stuff. So, Colton, like, how would you describe the flavor profile of a Belgian ale?
Yeah, I tried to cover the key points as I was giving the notes on this one.
Sure.
So, Belgian ale usually involves alcohol in the flavor profile. And if you're not familiar, the terms single, double, triple, and quad come from, I don't know if it's real, but the old story that the monks would brew the beer for themselves, and then if they brewed the beer to sell to other people, they'd double the recipe, because that way it gets sweeter and more alcoholic, and, you know, monks don't want to drink something that's too alcoholic on the job, on the prayer, as it were. So then a triple is even more sweet and more alcoholic, and a quad is where it tops out for any reasonable brewer, and even that might be kind of an American invention. Mm-hmm. But you get a lot of sweetness because they're completely malt forward. There's like almost no hop essence in the flavor profile of a standard Belgian ale. So a lot of sweetness, and also they tend to use candy sugar to enhance the sweetness as well. So that's like a normal ingredient, and a very thin mouthfeel. It's like water pouring over your tongue, and the color. Often golden, although some people make it a little darker. It can edge towards brown. The color is usually not a function of the alcohol or the sweetness. They're mostly always golden, but any of them can be brownish. And I think that's the basics of strong Belgian ales.
And so this one is from Sierra Nevada. It's called the Avila Abbey Golden with Pomegranate. 8.5, not 8. Sorry, Brian. All right. And it's from the Abbey of New Clairvaux, which I don't know if that's one of the official Belgian abbeys or not, but both the pomegranates and the yeast, I think, are from there. This was one of the favorites that Katie and I had down in Asheville.
It's probably my favorite, I would say.
Do you want to... Oh, we've got to score them. So I'm going to give both tasters 7. Mike's notes were a little bit more complete, but he also had the curve because he's had our previous beer cast. And I think Brian hit some important points. The cherryness, which I could definitely see you mistaking the pomegranate as cherry. So 7 for each, and Brian gets the 1 from the ABV.
Okay.
I'm going to give Brian an extra point. My extra point is getting a little redundant here, but it's also for the cherry.
Okay. All right, so that's beer number 5. And then we have beer number 6. And whoop! There's a bonus 7th.
Oh, man. Game changer.
Plot twist.
So we have our number
Bet
6.
Bet you didn't see that coming, listeners.
our six, and then after that the bonus. So here we go, beer number six.
Oh shoot.
So beer number six, our final pre-bonus beer.
I'm gonna step in and make some commentary. This, it's got kind of a cinnamony smell. Very, very distinctive, unusual smell. And the taste, I'm gonna say clove. It tastes like walking through like a Christmas candle store. Yeah, I don't know. Very, it's got notes of various spices.
Yeah. What's that? No, I think you're right. It's funny to me because like when you finish the beer, so after it's all down the hatch and everything like that, the aroma plus how it really lingers after the fact almost reminds me of like spiced cider when you're at Christmas time or something like that. Like it's that sort of smell. And like most of the beers we've had today, it's an amber sort of color, and you got minimal head and all that kind of jazz. But I think you hit a lot of the notes really well. There's definitely some spiciness when you sniff it, some cinnamon, or you know maybe this is pumpkin related. And then like you were saying with the clove, it's that sort of, I don't know what the right adjective is for it, but it's that aftertaste that's not like chalky, but I'm trying to think of the right way. It's like almost floral. So let me like taste this a little bit more, but I think you were spot on with a lot of
Yeah, it reminds me of in like fourth grade we did an art project where we stuck pieces of clove into an orange. And they said it was like a colonial holiday art project. And I don't know how much of that is actually historically accurate, but it smelled very nice, and this reminds me of that experience.
Now you say orange too, and I don't know if it's just me just projecting, but I would be shocked if that's not one of the notes that they come up with, because it definitely has that sort of citrusy aroma to it, at least when you smell it, almost like cinnamon with orange. So like you said, clove. Yeah, spot on.
Colton, what says you? Oh, maybe our
okay, there we go. Got it. Man, so these guys are absolutely right about sort of Christmas spices. And what struck me even more about this beer is just how drinkable it is. Like, this is thin and light, and I could just gulp it down like water. The experience, I mean, it's cold, but the experience is like drinking mulled wine or something, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not a wine flavor, but it's like a light, easy, drinkable, festive ale. I've seen beers that are labeled like festive ale or Christmas ale or something. It seems like that would be unseasonal. I would be surprised if anyone were offering something under that label, but I just don't even know what else to call it, because there's so little beer flavor underneath the spices. Yeah, the spices are like 90% of the flavor, and there's like nothing under that. So I don't even know what the base would be.
So we're all pretty much on the same page there.
Yeah, in agreement. Concurrence.
Maybe this is all a bunch of groupthink, but I mean, yeah, everything you said, I think we're all really around the same thing. I mean, do you want to guess the ABV?
It doesn't strike me as necessarily very strong. I'll say, what the heck, 4.7.
I'm going to say 5.0.
So, a few interesting notes here. So, one is, I had the advantage of obviously seeing the name of the beer before I tasted it, which you guys did not have. But as soon as I tasted it, it is, in fact, a pumpkin ale. And I thought,
you got it.
I thought this tasted, I've had pumpkin ales before, and I can maybe just get a hint of it. But this was a full-on pumpkin spice latte in a beer form that I could... You guys called it Christmas spices, the cinnamon. It doesn't use the word clove or cinnamon, but it does use quite a few spices. Another tidbit. So I play a lot of board games with Mike over here. What is the name of my board game that I've been designing?
King Dan.
So this is called King Don Pumpkin Ale.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Really?
They named a beer after you. Well, and Don, they just typoed it, man.
Oh,
no, they meant to be King Dan. Come on.
It is 5.5% ABV, so Mike gets one bonus point. I'll read what it has to say here. Complex beer uses five separate barley styles, an artistic touch of hops, and spices normally used in baking, plus fresh pumpkin. The caramel, spice, and pumpkin flavors meld into a wonderfully smooth, orange-hued beer that sports a luscious, creamy foam head. Long live King Don. So
my
those
God.
Are the notes there. So you guys hit it. You used more Christmas spices, but otherwise, here they call it fall spices, pumpkin spices, baking spices, but...
No, and you know what? I'm going to say that that description they give, sometimes I almost disagree with the descriptions people give. That's really accurate, because if you were to think about like a heavy spiced pumpkin pie, that would analogate really well with this.
Yeah, I can see it. The I've had a couple different kinds of pumpkin ale this year. I feel like Gauntlet has to try the various Halloween beers. So far, the pumpkiniest one, I would say, is the Blue Moon Harvest Pumpkin. That seems pretty pumpkiny, but I can definitely see it in this case.
Okay, Colton, any parting thoughts here?
No, I'm glad that Brian picked out the baking spices first, and Mike picked out the group thing that led us all to focus on Christmas when the same array of spices is used in pumpkin pie. And I think that's all there is to it.
Yeah, this was another one of my favorites. I mean, this was from Catawba Brewing, and I have to admit, when we went there, I was already pretty drunk, so I'm a little hazy on it, but I remember tasting this and lighting up. I was like, this actually tastes like pumpkin spices, like pumpkin pie. Oh my gosh, we have to get this for the beer cast.
And
so,
not just because it's called King Don.
And not just because it's called King Don, although that was a contributing factor. So I actually quite liked Catawba. So if you're down in Asheville, that's another one I would recommend. And I'm going to say, I'm going to actually give Brian the edge on this one. I think this might be his first outright victory. Maybe not. But I'm going to give him a 8 on this one. And I'm going to give Mike a 7 on this one.
I'm going to give Brian a bonus point for it tastes like walking in a candle store.
Very nice. All right, so that's beer number 6. But fortunately, we have a bonus beverage.
Oh, that's right.
I guess I'm up first on this one.
Yeah, so, well, this is it's a bonus. I will preface this with, Kate, this was one of the favorite things that Katie and I drank. In fact, we liked everything from this place. This was not one of our favorites, but this place is actually very new, and there was only 2 beers you could get to go from there. And so...
can we, like, clear the air a little bit here? This is a beer.
I don't know.
Because I don't think it's a beer.
Yeah, I'm going to say this might be a cider or something.
Yeah, cider or some sort of like wine contraption. I don't know.
It's pinkish. I'll cut in and say it's pinkish.
First of all, like the hue of it, which is very interesting because we're all sitting down, right? And
yeah.
I was walking back here when this was poured, and I looked at this and I'm like, wow, that is a really interesting clear red that you don't really see. Like, no matter what kind of beer you have, there's always some sort of cloudiness to it, even in the clearest of pilsners. So I don't know. It's very interesting because you have a lot of fruit flavor in the aroma, and I mean, you might be trying to pull a fast one on us, like Colton with that.
Is it Strawberita?
It is not Strawberita.
I'm gonna guess Strawberita. I don't care what Dan says now. He's just trying to throw me off.
There is a sweet fruit to it. I mean, I don't want to say like cherry again, but like that's like the notes I'm getting: cherry, grape, strawberry, something like that. The very sweet, almost like cough syrup sort of smell to it.
So where I was going with my story is we loved it, so we actually opened the growler early because we really wanted some of it. And as a result, it's a little bit flat from what it was when we first got it poured. And it's not quite as crisp as it was then, but it's still very tasty. I'm still enjoying this pour here.
Yeah.
Yeah. This almost strikes me as like a Mike's Hard or something. Like a... Squeeze It, if anybody remembers those.
My initial taste was some sort of cider, but I don't know. I mean, this is the problem, right? It's the whole psychology thing. You almost have to lean towards, are they pulling a fast one on us? Or whatever. But it doesn't really taste like any sort of beer I've ever had, and I can't think of a beer that would be this light, so...
I'm trying to place what specific kind of fruit this is tasting like. I'm going to lean towards some kind of cider, but...
Right, so, I mean, those are pretty much my taste notes. I mean, I said, like, what? Like, cherry, strawberry, and some other thing, and some cider. I don't know.
Any thoughts from Colton?
Yeah, let's start with the basics. I knew something was up when Dan said bonus beverage. I knew that meant it was not going to be a beer. So then when I got it out and looked at it, and it has the color of a rosé.
Yeah.
And the clarity of a rosé. And it has a little bit of tartness to it. Now, when I actually go to taste it, I definitely taste something. I want to say it's apple. It might be something like a pear, but it really feels like apple. But red apples aren't tart. Green ones are, and the color is red. So, I mean, I don't taste hops. I don't taste malt. I don't taste beer stuff in here at all, although I assume that in some brewer's fantasy, this counts as a beer. I would say that this has to be a blend of, like, apple stuffs plus either grape stuffs or some other tart berry.
Yeah, I'm torn between apple and grape.
And I really think that it has to involve both of those, because I get apple flavor. I would not get that if this were just wine. So I think it involves apple and grape,
yeah.
Two things similar to those. Yeah. And because it's being served to us at all, it presumably came from a brewery, so maybe it's like 30% or 50% beer, but there's no beer taste, there's no beer color, there's no beer appearance to it, nothing in the smell. So that's what I
you could be right. I mean, this could almost be like... Well, here's the thing. I had a... It's funny, after beer cast number two, I went out with Kathleen. We had a rattler somewhere, and it was like 3.2% alcohol by volume, and it had just so much like fruit juice in it that you couldn't even taste the beer. Now clearly there was beer in it because it was a rattler, and you would explain to us on that beer cast what a rattler was, but it was still just like so little beer that you actually couldn't even taste it. The thing is that was interesting about that though is because of the fruit juice in it, it was more cloudy than this is. And I think that's what's throwing me off more than anything. It's like, if this was a rattler, I would expect there to be more cloudiness in it. But I guess you could have something like strawberries or something like that, and apples with a little bit of, like, beer mixed in, some sort of lager, like, really light lager. I don't know.
Maybe raspberry or something. I'm not...
Raspberry,
I'm just
man,
throwing,
that might be a good call. I don't know. We'll see what it is.
Throwing fruit words
out
there.
Why don't you guys guess the ABV so I can start telling you about this and this place?
I guess I'm up first, right? I'm going to go ahead and say 4.5%.
4.7.
ABV is 7.5.
What?
Really?
This is a cider. Or as Colton said last time... This is a fucking cider.
All right, so we were on that, man. Good job.
This is from... And Colton, I gave you an even bigger hint when I dropped off the beer. I said I went to 10 breweries and 2 cideries.
I feel like we said cider.
You did
though.
Say cider.
We both said cider, yep.
Colton did not say cider, and I was expecting him to just... or maybe he said it, but he didn't jump out and say right away that it was. So this is actually... I talked to the... I don't know, do you call him a brewer if you make cider? The ciderist.
Sure. Some asshole.
So
whatever.
This place is brand new. It's like just a couple months old. And
no, that's not true. Their tasting room is new. They're
okay.
Like 2 or 3 years old.
So their tasting room is brand new. Actually, didn't it open like 2 weeks before we went there or something? So they're only serving kegs right now. They just started doing growlers like right before we got there at their new tasting room. And it's actually made, they juice their own apples, and they have a couple that have additional fruits in them. So they actually mash cherries into this one.
Huh.
And Mike called the cherries.
Said, yeah.
However, I will tip my hat to Colton, who repeatedly, or at least once, used the word tart. And the name of the cider is the Village Tart. So the name of the cidery is Noble Cider, and I highly recommend going out there. All of theirs were very good. They had a wide variety of ciders. My favorite of theirs was unfortunately not to go. It was actually blueberry mashed with apples, and that was very good, and spices too. Katie also liked their ginger apple.
Very, very good.
So yeah, I mean, I knew that I was tipping my hand there, and I was also a throwback to cast number two where there was a cider, but... Yeah, we really like this, and I thought it was a little bit interesting and a little unique, too, because it wasn't just apple. It was very red and very mashed with cherries. So you guys more or less hit it, and you called that it was apples. You called that there was... Mike even said cherry. There was a couple other fruits guessed, so kudos to you guys on that one. And nobody No, I didn't trick anyone into thinking it was wine either, which I thought might happen. Although Colton tiptoed there, but he backed up.
I mean,
from it
so. Really looked like rosé, like Colton said. I mean,
any parting thoughts on bonus beer, or not bonus beer, bonus cider?
Yeah, I mean, my parting thoughts on this is, can we cut the BS with these ciders? I mean, this is two beer casts in a row.
Well, remember, I didn't
count
it as
beverage cast. All right, you know what? I respect that. Colton did not. That was his sixth beer, and I'm doing air bunnies for people who can't see them. Was a cider. So they're right. This is a bonus beverage.
Okay.
So never mind. You get a pass.
I liked it.
Yeah,
that's what I'll say.
The word beer. I resent that a little.
Wait, did I?
You said, and we left, and they only had two beers you could take to
go. Oh, sorry, two ciders to go. Colton, any thoughts or responses?
I'd like to apologize for the cider that was on the previous beer. I was trying to fill out a summer beer set, and when I went, they had just stocked the shelves with all the fall beers, and it was really the best I could do, and I felt bad, and I still feel bad. So that said, this is a fine beverage as long as you know what you're getting. If someone told me it was a beer and handed it to me, I would slap them in the face. it's good. Good pick, Dan.
Thank you. So we're running up on an hour now, so we only have a minute or two. Oh, wait, we got to score. Are we scoring for bonus? I guess we are.
Are we?
So they're going to do some math now.
Yeah, well, we'll do that. Katie will do that as we talk. I'm going to give Mike a 7 for calling Cherry, and I'm going to give Brian a 5. He was right there, too, and he got most of the important notes. So.
Mm-hmm. Bonus point goes to Brian once again for his comparison to Squeezits and other relevant beverages.
That's true.
I do miss Squeeze-Its. That's the one.
Don't we all?
90s kids remember thing that I will chip in my aggressive nostalgia
Squeeze-Its
on.
Squeeze-Its and Kool-Aid. That was
stuff. I mean, Kool-Aid delivers the same taste experience, but Squeeze-Its, the bottles had emotional faces on them.
No.
Grumpy grape.
Which made it drastically superior to a Capri Sun.
That's right.
Also, the Capri Suns are really hard to get the thing.
Yeah, the straw goes in and it goes out the other side.
Exactly. And then you're just spilling it everywhere.
Right. It's like those milk pillows.
It's really like the anti-small children drink, which is ironic in its core.
Absolutely. We should do a 90s food cast. You know, scrounge up some Dunkaroos.
Well,
what was the string cheese called? Oh, I forget.
There were pull and peels.
Lunchables I was trying to think of, too. Man, there's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, to bring it back to beer here, we are, in summary, our six beers where we had the Drink the Bismarck, which was how do you pronounce it? Marzahn?
Märzen.
Märzen. Märzen Lager. We had the Oatmeal Pale Ale. We had the Pompoin, which was the sour. We had the Rye, which had about 10 different notes in its taste notes. We had the Sierra Nevada Belgian, we had the Pumpkin Ale, and we had the Village Tart Cherry Cider, Cherry Apple Cider. So,
there's some good drinks.
Quite a spread.
What did you think was your favorite, Brian?
The most notable to me was the Pompoin. I'd never had anything quite like that, and I may return to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very good. I mean, I was like I think we had two Lambics on the first beer cast that were sour like that. It's very interesting. I like that one a lot. I mean, all these beers were fantastic, in my opinion.
Yeah, quite good selections.
Yeah, number two. What was number two again?
That was the Oatmeal Pale Ale, Sessionable Ale. That was a collaboration.
I thought that was very interesting. And then number four was the one that had like a lot of different notes going on in it,
right?
Yeah,
that one was good too.
Both of those I really liked a lot too. What breweries were those from?
So, the breweries we had, the first one was the Asheville Brewing Co. That was the one that was the lager. The Oatmeal Pale Ale is from High Wire Brewery, but that was collaborated with multiple breweries.
Okay.
The Wicked Weed is the name of the one that does the sour and funky beers. Number four was the Lab, the one that had like all the different notes, won the bronze medal.
Yeah. Mm.
Sierra Nevada was the Belgian, and the Pumpkin Ale was by Catawba. Catawba, which might be the name of an Indian tribe there or something like that. I don't know.
Gotcha.
I really don't know.
Okay.
And then the name of the cidery that we liked that was small and new is called Noble. So, all right. Any last thoughts from any of our participants here?
I mean, I'd just like to say that for your inaugural beer cast as Dan the MC instead of Dan the taster, you did a very good job.
Well, thank
Katie,
you
were spectacular as the bonus point aficionado, although the one round where you refused to give out a bonus point will live in controversy.
Yeah, a little contentious.
And Brian, for your first beer cast, man, I thought you did a good job.
Yeah, I'm glad to be a part of it.
Broaden
my horizons.
Yeah, I was just about to read final scores.
Ooh, one final comment from me first, though, is I'm here and I'm talking beer, so I'm going to give one final shout out to Lagunitas and my cousin's band, the Brothers Comatose, so...
Well, why is Lagunitas?
Well, they sponsor them. So I said that earlier off the record, and they lean a little bit on their India Pale Ale, which is not usually my go-to beer style, but I like to show them support every once in a while, just because I fully support my cousin's band, and not just because they're my cousins. They do have quite some musical talent.
And Lagunitas has a really good pilsner and a really good like half. Half wheat, half IPA sort of beer called Mill Something Something. So, just a little bit of...
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a Lagunitas-centric one sometime.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll change your mind on that a little bit.
Okay.
Colton, what does your baby think of the beers?
I didn't let her try any of them.
Well, then in that case, what did you think of the beers?
I thought that you represented Asheville very well. None of these were straightforward beers. Every one of them had at least one twist. Some of them had like six twists. and that's very appropriate for such a beer town. And I think that this was very interesting and enlightening. It made this hopefully among the more difficult beer casts we'll ever do for the panelists. Because it's just so hard when there's nothing that's like a straightforward hallmark of its style. But these are good beers.
Yeah, I tried to pick ones that we liked, so. All right, well, the moment of truth, the final scoring. It was pretty close. Mike scored 52 points across the seven beverages.
All right.
Brian scored 46 points.
Whew.
Yeah.
So... Mike edging Brian 52-46. That was a close one.
Yeah, it was a valiant battle.
Yeah, well done.
I think it was a good good first cast by Brian as well.
Yeah, hopefully I didn't
absolutely
didn't do too shamefully. I think I did
did
okay.
Man, you did a
yeah,
good job.
That was a good experience.
A lot of bonus points.
Well, I think the time has come for us to stop the recording and go drink more beer. So, signing off. This is Dan,
Katie, and Mike,
and Brian,
and Colton.
Yeah.
All right. I wasn't born for digging deep holes. I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer.